So, good morning, everyone. My name is Ben. Today, I thought I'll share something from a passage which I read a couple of weeks ago. This is a passage from the book of Romans. So, as most of you know, we have a tool called CD Bible Reading where we read a couple of chapters and passages together. So, this is one chapter which I bumped into as part of the CBR reading, daily reading, and this is Romans, one second, awesome. So this is the passage from the book of Romans, chapter 9, a couple of verses here. I'll read out the verses, and from there we'll just, I'll share a couple of things which God really convicted me, and God led me towards. So before that, we'll just have a quick word of prayer. I'll lead all of us into prayer, and then we jump into the passage, yeah? God, Heavenly Father, we want to worship you for saving us, O Father, from our own sins, from our own selfishness. You gave us a new life. You gave us freedom. That is for us to enjoy for our whole lifetime, Lord. Lord, we want to worship you and thank you. As we jump into the scripture, I pray that you would help each one of us see you, see our own sins, and help us come to you in repentance, O Father. Thank you, Father. I pray that you would be glorified today, Lord. We ask this in your precious name. So I'll read this passage, Romans chapter 9, verses 30 to 33. This is a letter written to the Romans by Paul. It reads, "What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel who pursued the law as a way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame." So as I read this passage a couple of weeks ago, I was convicted about how I see righteousness, how I seek righteousness and validation through my own works and through the things that I do. And I could relate with what Paul talks about the people of Israel here, where I used to strive and seek my own righteousness through the works I did. And I was self-righteous rather than being righteous in Christ. And over the next few minutes, allow me to dig into this passage and see what Paul talks about as righteousness by faith here. So, what does righteousness mean for all of us? Any suggestions? What does righteousness mean? So righteousness, yeah. So that is God's standards. So righteousness means being right. And in our daily life, we try to be right and proven right before our bosses, before our colleagues, before our friends, before our family, before in our church community, and we all want to be right all the time. And we rarely let others perceive us as wrong. And even when we know we are wrong, we rarely let people know that we are wrong. And when we are often confronted by others about being wrong, we always defend ourselves. And different people defend in different volume measures. For example, Roshni and I, we fight quite often at home about silly things, and we end the argument by defending myself, and often claiming that I am always right. So it's a daily spectacle in our home. But so what are some of these things that we do to show that we are righteous, or show that our thoughts are right and what we do is right? So what are some of the things that we do in our daily lives? Would you have any suggestions? So some of the things which I do on a daily basis to show that I'm right and to show that I'm perfect, I am very gentle with people. I am very nice to people. From the outside, I look very, very warm and welcoming. And at work, I write very polite and very gracious emails with everyone copied on the email to show that I'm a really good person. Often I point out how the decisions others have made are and were wrong, and I always knew that from the start, and how if I would have been the one making the decision, I would have done something differently. So that is something I do that very often. And quite often I hide my mistakes from my friends, from my colleagues, from my family, from Roshni, my wife. And this is something I do very often. I hide my weaknesses. So this is all something that I do to be seen righteous, to be seen right. And the true meaning of righteousness, but beyond all of this, is outside of our bosses, colleagues, friends, family, church. Righteousness has a bigger definition that is linked to our lives, to our souls. And actual righteousness is defined by being right before our author, right before our creator, right before God himself. And there are many things that, as I read in the passage, I stumbled upon. There are many things I do to be seen as righteous before God. But the question I came upon here was, by what I do, can I ever be called completely righteous? By my own works, by what I did, can I ever be called completely righteous? So I remember while I was growing up, I used to do a lot of things to be called righteous before God. So those are a couple of things which I do to be righteous before the world. There were a lot of things that I always did to be righteous before God. I always wanted, or I used to do things thinking that God would look at my actions and say, Ben is really good. Ben is always right, and he has truly earned my blessings. And that's what my actions would move towards. And so some of the things I used to do was I used to go to church every day, every Sunday, and attend every church meeting. I used to think that would put me right before God. I used to read the Bible every day and pray very diligently. I used to think that would put me right before God. I used to tithe regularly, give as much money as, or 1/10 of my money to church. I used to host people, take people out, and I used to lie less. I used to trouble my parents less. I used to not smoke, and I used to hardly drink. I used to not engage in adultery. Now all these things are good works, and all these things which we see also in a bit that comes from God as well. But I was a fool to think. I still today am a fool to think that this is what helps me claim my righteousness, or helps me become right before God. And following these rules would put me in a good relationship with God. And I still am a fool to believe that this is what would help me seek approval before God. So we'll just look at this passage once again. As it reads, "What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel who pursue the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, 'See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame.'" So in this passage, we see two kinds of people. We see Israelites, people from Israel, and we see Gentiles. So I'll quickly break this into who are Israelites and who are Gentiles. So when God came to Abraham, which we call father of Israel, God came to Abraham about 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years before Christ was born, as recorded in the Bible. God promised Abraham that he would have descendants. He would have children through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And this promise was made to Abraham's son, Isaac. It was then made to Jacob, Isaac's son. And Jacob was later given the name Israel. And his descendants later came to be called Israel. So God, here, when it talks about Abraham, God chose Abraham and his children, who are called Israel, to bless other people, other nations as well. And because of this promise, what we see is Israelites considered themselves closer to God. And they had a culture, they created a culture which had a lot of things that were focused on God, or a lot of things that were religious. A lot of activities that were around involving God, His name, and involving giving, or everything that connected to God and what God had decreed as laws. And the non-Israelites, who were not part of this group, were called Gentiles. So Gentiles were new to this entire thing called God, and they had nothing in their culture or rituals or habits that were connected to God or worshiping God. So this is background on to Israelites and Gentiles, just to summarize it quickly. So what the passage here states is that Israelites, this first group of people, pursued relationship with God by being right before Him through their works. And they fasted, they prayed, they developed, they had a whole bunch of rituals, events, which they tried to connect God with. They used to tithe publicly. They used to have all sorts of events where they would cry out. They would have songs, and they would have all sorts of rituals that we also see around us, which they would call as things that they would do to connect to God. And they did these, were involved in these works to pursue righteousness and to be connected to God. So Israelites pursued righteousness just like how I did in these few examples I spelled out, by doing works. And in their pursuit of righteousness before God, they forgot God Himself. And they tried pursuing God's approval through the works they did. But one thing they and we often forget is that God's standards of righteousness and holiness and the works that we really need to do to gain His approval are really, really high, and much higher than what we have seen, what Israelites have seen. And man and each of us cannot meet these standards by ourselves. Just to give an illustration, if I see this building, this hall's building, as my standards of righteousness, maybe yours would be as high as Antilia or Trident Hotel here. But when God looks at the standards of righteousness in terms of height, His standards cross the highs, crosses even higher than the skies. And that's how high God's standard of righteousness is. And we are here, often Jews and Gentiles and Israelites were comparing their righteousness with a 24 building versus a two-story building. But what the truth is, God's standard of righteousness is really, really, really high, which we cannot even imagine and understand. And the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible says that, indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. In the book of Galatians, it is written, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So this is where Israelites stumbled over the stumbling stone. Here, the passage talks about the stumbling stone, which is Christ. And Israelites refused to believe in Jesus. And they tried to establish their own righteousness by their works. And when Jesus came and said, these works is not what God seeks. What God seeks is a relationship with you, that you would consider God as your creator, and you would consider Him more important than the works that follow from your love for Him. And use of the law led the Israelites to stumble over Christ when Christ was confronting them. These Israelites attempting to establish their own righteousness saw no need to believe in Christ Himself. So the Bible says in the book of John, the Bible says, God so loved you and me and the Israelites and everyone that He sent His only Son here among us. God sent His Son to give His life so that we would believe in Him and not truly just do the works, but truly believe in Him, which is the primary source of righteousness. And as a result, we would not perish in our sins, but we would be forgiven and we would be given an eternal life. So the Israelites had assumed that if they diligently followed all the commandments of God, that would enable them to be right before God. they didn't really understand that the heart of God, and so they looked to be made right before God through the actions that they did. Because they didn't want to believe that someone else was going to make them right before God, which Jesus did. That their works were not attaining perfection for them, but someone else who was made perfect would attain perfection for them by making sacrifice on behalf of all of them. The Israelites, like me, like most of us often are, they made sacrifices of cattle, birds, grains before God, but they did not understand the heart of God in commanding them to do so. They thought the sacrifices were made to make them right before God. God knew the ultimate sacrifice would be made by Jesus. And every time an Israelite were to make a sacrifice, it was to be done with the faith of a coming Savior. So even, for example, small things that we do, tithing, for example, is something which I always thought was a means to be called righteous before God. And giving my money is something which God has put as a rule, and I need to follow that to be right before God. But actually, tithing is only a reminder for my sinful heart that God gave His riches, God gave all His possessions without holding anything back. I'm often holding my money back. I'm often holding my time back. I mean, Roshni is smiling because she knows that is the truth. I'm holding my time back, my resources back for my own needs. And Jesus, God decided to give His own life, His whole richness, all His riches and everything He had, He decided to give it on the cross so that our low standards or righteousness would be forgotten, and that we would enjoy God's sky-high standards of righteousness through His transaction on the cross. And like Israelites, we often place our hope in our works. And that is when Jesus confronts us, when we refuse to believe that He often is the Savior who has attained this righteousness for us. And this is for most of the time what we do is to give you an example, we are often like this 5-year-old child who has his parents' care and affection because he is his child. But we often act as if when this child would, to gain this care and affection, would try to earn his way by doing things for his parents. This child would do things to earn his parents' care and affection. While the child does not have to do that because he's a child of his or her parents, and that comes naturally for this child. The child does not have to work to earn it. And that is how we have God's love and grace. It is for us as a gift. We don't have to earn it by the works that we do. It is as in God calls us, as this passage here, the last line reads, the one who believes in Him would have righteousness. One who believes in Him would have a new life. And here we see Jesus, Son of God, who is completely righteous, without any sin, gifted us His righteousness through the transaction He did at the cross. The book of Romans in the Bible reads, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Galatians reads, by when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship, that we would be called children of God without these works. And there are so many of us here today who get hung up on a work salvation, never really understanding that salvation is by grace and through faith in Christ. The harder a person works for this salvation by works, the further he is removed from the salvation that comes from Christ. Many of the Israelites who listened to Paul had a hard time accepting that the salvation is by grace, and it's through faith alone and not by works. Because they saw a God of wrath, and they couldn't see how a person could receive freedom from condemnation without good works. And the result of this righteousness and salvation from God is that sinners like us turn away from sin and towards doing good works. So works is, having said that faith is more important, works is important, but works comes from faith itself. And Jesus accomplished all that we need to be saved and stay saved on that cross. And all that we need, we have in Jesus. All we need to do to be saved, to be justified or declared righteous before God, is to truly believe in what God has done for us in Jesus on the cross. Bible also says that as the body is dead without the spirit, so faith without deeds is dead. And deeds comes primarily from faith. The scripture clearly also teaches that we are declared righteous by faith in Christ and what he has done on the cross. The faith alone saves us. However, we cannot stop here without addressing what the Bible also says, that man is justified by works that comes from this faith as well, and not just by faith alone. So Anand had shared this earlier, that when what happens when we run this race is that when we run a race, we get a gold medal when we become first, right? And being made right before God is like being this gold medal, being given this gold medal even before finishing this race. And this happens the moment we put on faith and trust in Jesus. And but then we are also given a robe to wear, where we are made to be like Christ. Now that happens when Jesus helps us become worthy of wearing that gold medal. And he trains us and helps us win that race. And what we also see that as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And God not only redeemed us by imparting Christ's righteousness to us and by judicially declaring us righteous, but also planted his spirit within us that it would be able to produce the fruit of love. It would be able to produce fruit of peace, patience, gentleness, faith, meekness, and self-control, which comes from faith in what Christ has done. And that results in actions pleasing to God. And because Christ has given us his spirit, we can fulfill God's law and be made right before God. The book of Ephesians reads, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So I'll take a quick example into this life of Abraham, which I read before in the passage. God came to Abraham about 2,000 years before Christ was born, as recorded in the Bible. God also promised him that he would have descendants through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And in the verse here, it says God took Abraham outside his tent and he tells him, "Look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them," then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. And this is what he tells Abraham, promises Abraham about having descendants who would be a large nation. And this is when Abraham was 75 years old and he did not have any child. And this is when it was practically impossible for him at this age to have children. Still, the verse continues to read, "Abraham believed the Lord and God credited to him as righteousness." God credited this faith to him as righteousness. So what we see here is the promise God made to Abraham was phenomenal. But what we see also is what is more remarkable is Abraham believed the Lord when he said that, and God credited this to him as righteousness. And this is a statement of justification by faith, of being accepted by God simply because we believe in him. Abraham was counted righteous on the basis of his faith and not on the basis of his works. So as what Abraham here exhibited was pure reliance on God and what pure faith in God and in his grace. And what we see here is we would never be condemned because we have been set free from the law, and which is punishment, which the Bible says is death. Because of our faith in Christ, we have been set free from sin's power and penalty. We will never experience the punishment of sin. The book of Ephesians reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So as I conclude here, I pray that all of us would be able to pursue righteousness that is by faith, righteousness that is not by works, and righteousness that comes purely from faith in God. And reading the word daily really helps us grow in seeing this, grow in seeing God and growing in faith. And which is why a lot of us have the CBR as a tool, which has really helped me truly see God and truly discover God and how my faith in God and the work that He's done at the cross is source of my salvation and my righteousness. And even what we have as groups, as GAP group, is also has been a constant reminder for me when I've heard from others and where others have encouraged, and what we see in the word through these GAP groups has constantly reminded me that my works is not what defines my righteousness. And what it also helped me remember is that God has already won the medal for me, and this medal is not. Medal is not won by my own works. The medal is won not by my own running of the race, but medal is won by my faith in Christ, which Christ has already won for me.